ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba.
Wendy, would you like to hear the Bing Crosby version of this theme song?
Yes, please.
Boo ba boo ba boo ba boo ba boo ba boo ba bum ba boo ba boo ba boo ba boo ba boo.
Can you just do it for the next 50 minutes?
No, I'd blow up my throat, I think. My larynx.
Larynx.
Yep. It would be blown out. I don't know if you just heard, Bob Kessler in the news did a story that is surprising to me. I don't know why it is, but it's so surprising to me. You know what? I know why it is. Here's the story, and then I'll explain why it's so surprising and then not surprising at the same time. The Cubs have given a World Series ring to Steve Bartman. Do I even need to say who Steve Bartman is? That guy, well, he's famous forever, right, in Chicago.
Infamous.
He reached out in a pivotal moment.
Along with other people.
Along with everybody else within a five-mile radius. He tried to catch a foul ball at Wrigley during the playoffs with the Cubs and the Marlins. He was unsuccessful in catching the ball, but he's been in hiding ever since. This was 14 years ago.
It was that long ago?
That was 14 years ago.
I'm getting reports here that Moises Alou just made a statement, what the hell?
Because that's what happened, right? That's who yelled at him?
Moises Alou, who was playing left field for the Cubs at the time, tried to make the argument that Steve Bartman prohibited him from catching the ball, which is not the case. And spoiler alert, the Cubs went on to lose the series to the Marlins and not make it to the World Series. But since then, they've done, last year, they won the World Series. So all is forgiven. Now, the reason that this is amazing is not that the Cubs gave him a World Series ring.
That he accepted it?
That not only did he accept it, but he made a comment about it. He's made a statement. I have the statement
here.
He
hasn't made any statements for 14 years.
Nothing.
And, you know, talking to, we've had listeners and people who say they've known the family and that this broke his heart and he never went to any more Cubs games.
I know.
And it's really sad.
Now, that's been amended. People have said that he has attended Cubs games in the last couple of years incognito, which is...
That's still not fair.
Yeah.
He really got the raw end of the stick here.
There's no question. I know I've told you this, but... the night that this happened, I was at the game, and I got home, and a guy that I've known for a long time left me a voicemail message saying, now at the time, nobody knew this guy's name. Everybody knew that a guy reached out and tried to catch the ball, but nobody knew his name.
And a lot of people thought it was Richard Roper at first.
He looked a lot like Richard Roper.
Honest to God, he really did.
Right. So this guy that I know said, hey, this is the guy's name. His name is Steve Bartman. I know his dad real well. I know Steve a little bit. The last thing in the world he would want to do would be to interrupt a play. This means too much to him. He's such a Cubs fan, and he's going to be crushed by this. Could you please not say his name on the radio tomorrow if you talk about this story?
Which everybody was talking about.
Everybody was talking about it. And by the time I woke up in the morning, everybody knew his name and where he lived.
You leaked it, didn't you? How much did you get paid?
I didn't say anything.
I know you didn't.
In all honesty... I wouldn't have.
And that's a tough call to make, so kudos to you.
Well, but it was too late, because everybody already knew his name and everything about him. And like we said, for the last 14 years, he's lived in hiding because of this incident.
So not fair.
Because, I mean, really, it's an impulse thing. The ball pops up. You're right there. Look at the videotape of it. Everyone around him is trying to catch the ball.
It's just it touched his hand. And, to this day, everybody would still reach for
it. Without a doubt. Although, you say that, but I have seen key moments where people have been a little bit more careful. Just going, I don't want to be the new Steve Bartman, which is terrible. His name shouldn't be synonymous with this sort of thing,
I know.
I wonder if he's had to change his name, because if you leave your name at a restaurant with reservations, people are going to go, wait, you're not that Steve Bartman, are you?
Doesn't it end now that the Cubs have won?
It should.
I mean, it's just, you're that guy. All right, here, I'll give you a better table.
Well, there's been talk about letting him throw out a first pitch, or when the parade happened last year, put him on a, let him ride in the parade. I don't think anyone, I'd be shocked if anybody now still holds a grudge against him. Does anybody?
He should hold a grudge against the whole city who turned their backs on him.
I know. So here's the statement. First, Tom Ricketts sends this out. He says, on behalf of the Tom Ricketts is the president of the Cubs. On behalf of the entire Chicago, owner of the Cubs. On behalf of the entire Chicago Cubs organization, we are honored to present a 2016 World Series championship ring to Mr. Steve Bartman. The Cubs told WGN in a statement, we hope that this provides closure on an unfortunate chapter of the story that has perpetuated throughout our quest to win a long-awaited World Series. While no gesture can fully lift the public burden he has endured for more than a decade, almost a decade and a half, we felt it was important that Steve knows he has been and continues to be fully embraced by this organization. After all he has sacrificed, we are proud to recognize Steve Bartman with this gift today. And that was the note that they sent along with the ring.
That's pretty sweet.
Very, very nice. Here is his statement, Steve Bartman's statement, and I swear to you, I don't remember reading a single word he has said in 14 years. I don't remember, because they have offered him a lot of money to do interviews, and he keeps saying, no, I don't want this.
I haven't heard any words from him.
Nothing, right? Here's what he says. Although I do not consider myself worthy of such an honor, isn't that nice?
Oh,
right off
God,
the bat.
That makes me want to cry right away.
Right off the bat. Ugh. And fouled off to the left. I am deeply moved and sincerely grateful to receive an official Chicago Cubs 2016 World Series championship ring. I am fully aware of the historical significance and appreciate the symbolism that the ring represents on multiple levels. My family and I will cherish it for generations. Most meaningful is the genuine outreach from the Ricketts family on behalf of the Cubs organization and fans, signifying to me that I am welcomed back into the Cubs family and have their support going forward. I am relieved and hopeful that the saga of the 2003 foul ball incident surrounding my family and me is finally over. I humbly receive the ring not only as a symbol of one of the most historic achievements in sports, but as an important reminder for how we should treat each other in today's society. My hope is that we can all learn from my experience to view sports as entertainment and prevent harsh scapegoating and to challenge the media and opportunistic profiteers to conduct business ethically by respecting personal privacy rights and not exploit any individual to advance their own self-interest or economic gain. Moreover, I am hopeful that this ring gesture will be the start of an important healing and reconciliation process for all involved. To that end, I request the media please respect my privacy and the privacy of my family. I will not participate in interviews or further public statements at this time. Words alone cannot express my heartfelt thanks to the Ricketts family, Crane Kenny, Theo Epstein, Wendy Snyder, and the entire Cubs organization. Wait, who wrote that in?
Sorry.
For this
extraordinary
gift. And it says James Spader, and that's crossed out, and then says Wendy Snyder. Who put that in there?
I don't care. I was the only one who, you did too, but really, I would have bent over backwards to make this all go away.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was horrible. Wendy, when I was there, I've said this before, but I've never seen anything like this. There are two bruiser guys, two giant guys behind me. You know how Kyle Schwarber is a big bruiser-looking guy? These guys out-Schwarbered Schwarber. Now, Schwarber at the time was 4 years old, so it had nothing to do
oh
with him.
Oh, my God.
He was a little older than that. But these two guys, when this happened, when this event happened, and the pop ball, and he doesn't catch it, Moises Alou doesn't catch it, these guys say, let's get him. And they get up out of their seats, and they walk over, because we were on the, I was by first base, this was down the left field line. Let's get him.
Seriously?
And they get up and they walk over. Yeah. And I've heard that story from other people. He was being threatened. There's videotape of him, people yelling stuff at him as they pull him out of his seat. He didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve any of that.
So he got escorted out for his own safety, because what he did.
No.
That is sickening.
Sickening.
You should read the last paragraph again. Right. I didn't mean to step
Here's
on it.
Here's what it says again. Words alone cannot express my heartfelt thanks to the Ricketts family, Crane Kenny, Theo Epstein, and the entire Cubs organization for this extraordinary gift and providing the city of Chicago and Cubs fans everywhere an unforgettable world championship in 2016. I am happy to be reunited with the Cubs family and positively moving forward with my life. And that's from Steve Bartman. The first words we've heard from him, I believe, in 14 years.
Doesn't that suck that his life was kind of on hold and unhappy for 14 years?
Yeah, that he couldn't do any of the things. He couldn't just walk around because he had a very specific look to him, you know, so you'd have to change that look right off the bat. But his name, like his name became a word. Steve Bartman is a guy who messed something up. It's not like, like Monica Lewinsky, the word Lewinsky now has a second meaning. But you could say in that case, well, you were a participant in that, a willing participant in that. So does she deserve that or not? You could debate that. But with him, he was a fan attending a playoff game who had a ball in front of him that he tried to catch. He actually, if you watch the film, and I've seen it so many times, he doesn't get out of the way, but he's like, he's not trying to catch it. He's not trying to, you know, break Moises Alou's concentration.
His plane.
No.
Yeah, I know.
He was a victim of circumstance. So to all these people who say, let's get him back in the fold, let him throw out a first pitch, let him be in a parade, put him in a box where he can be recognized and we can all, I think people would go nuts for him. If he shows up to a game, let's say the Cubs, let's hope the Cubs make the playoffs again this year and they introduce him, the crowd would go wild for him.
But it seems like he does not want that at all. He doesn't want the spotlight on him anymore.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a vindication, he still wants to remain in the shadows.
Yeah.
And leave him alone.
I guess. And you got to respect that. This is the closest example to this that I could possibly think of. In Boston, for years and years and years, Bill Buckner, who had an incredible career with the Red Sox, with the Dodgers, with the Cubs, he was a scapegoat. A ball went through his legs.
He Bucknered.
People say that. Don't Buckner this ball. Please don't Buckner this ball. So at some point a couple years ago, the Red Sox and Bill Buckner came together, and he comes out and he shows up at a game, and they introduce him. And again, the crowd goes wild. They love him. They're applauding. They're standing, give him a standing ovation. I think that would happen with Steve Bartman. He doesn't want it.
But he's not a player. It's different having the player come back and be on the field than it is a fan. This thing just took a life of its own.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And I mean, I think he should do it so he can look and see that there were a lot of jerks out there and that all is forgiven so he can go on with his life. But it seems like he said, please respect our privacy and the privacy of my family. I'm not going to participate in interviews or further public statements at this time. Maybe he'll change his mind, but
maybe.
I don't know.
But he went this long without changing his mind. I don't know if the ring, and I don't think the ring was meant as a way of saying to the Cubs, hey, let's get this more front and center. I think it was just a class move.
It was genuine to say, you know, hey, we're sorry for all the treatment you got.
Yeah, it was very, very nice. Now, here's a question to you. The White Sox had an infielder when they were playing the Baltimore Orioles that messed up a play and cost them a game. But nobody seems to remember that. Nobody remembers his name. I remember his name.
What was it?
Jerry Dibzinski. The Dibber.
I do remember that name, but not because of him doing that.
So how did he escape that? How did people, I mean, people were nuts on him that day. They were booing him and hissing him and stuff like that. But then the next day, it was back to business as usual. Nobody ever talks about Jerry Dibzinski or that mistake.
He wasn't as famous as Bill Buckner, though.
No. But it was an important cog in the White Sox losing that series to the Orioles and then not going any further to the World Series. But
baseball happens, man.
Yeah, I know.
Good and bad.
I know.
And, you know, Steve Bartman, I just feel terrible for because he was just at a game to enjoy it.
Right.
Like, honestly,
right.
A bigger fan than anyone I've ever met.
Yeah.
Sitting there listening to the radio to listen to the game while watching the game. Probably keeping score, I would imagine.
He was definitely keeping score. That Halloween, there were not one, not two, but three different kids, two boys and one girl, who came to our door. Dressed as him for Halloween, he instantly became a Halloween costume.
Did you not give them candy?
No. I threw a piece of candy in his bag, but it bounced around, and Moises Alou caught it at the last second.
You're mean. That's why he didn't thank you in the letter, but he did to me.
I know he did. He mentioned you.
You supported him, but every once in a while you do that little Dibzinski to him.
The Diver. All right, we'll take a quick break. I wouldn't be shocked if Judy Pilak stopped by and gave us some news.
She's a big Cubs fan.
That would not surprise me. So we'll talk to Judy. And then our friend from the WGN newsroom, Domody Pongo, is on location. As you know, flooding has been a horrible, horrible thing, a reality here in Illinois. He is at the Fox River keeping us up to date on what's going on there. So stick around. We have a lot more coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. Of course, we had a lot of rain coming our way, and some communities, I feel kind of guilty. We didn't really have much damage at all. but around the Fox River Valley, there were a lot of flooding issues. And despite the fact that the water has somewhat receded, cleanup continues, and our own Domati Pongo is going out on various locations in the Fox River area. And Domati, where are you today?
So today I'm at the Chicago Botanic Garden.
All right.
And believe it or not, Wendy, if you were here, you wouldn't even know that floods and torrential rain had even tore through the area. It is absolutely beautiful now.
Now, but everything was underwater. I mean, just looking at some of the pictures and the storm coverage, it was terrible.
Absolutely terrible. So they actually had to close, and you may remember this, of course. So the floods, well, that heavy rain came down Wednesday, July 12th. They closed a few days after that, July 14th, and over the next few days, and then they were able to open the following week. What I didn't know about the Chicago Botanic Gardens is that when these types of floods happen, they're part of the storm flood strategy, contingency strategy. So it soaks up gallons upon gallons of water, 250 million gallons of water to be exact. And they hold it so that it doesn't impact the surrounding communities as bad as it would have, if that makes sense. So,
well, how do they do that?
Yeah, but where is it held?
It's held within the, so you have all of this this plant life and this soil.
And it soaks it in?
It soaks it in, and they also have a system. I was speaking with the executive vice president and director of the garden, and he said that they have a system through which they're able to hold. He described it like a bathtub, and he says the bathtub already holds with up to 150 million gallons of water. But when these floods happen and this heavy rain comes in, that increases 200, 250 million. So they additionally keep 100 million gallons of water here, and they release it in waves through a pump that flows the water back out through the rivers as those rivers start to recede and it becomes a bit more normal, that flow.
So without the Chicago Botanic Gardens, this could have been way, way, way worse.
Which is crazy to even think about, because it was terrible for quite a few areas.
Boy, they really also dodged a bullet on Thursday. Everybody was expecting heavy rainstorms on Thursday night, and you know, places were just recuperating from the initial rains. So it was very, very fortunate that there was little to no rain on Thursday, huh?
Yeah, it would have been even worse here. And you know, and what I didn't know was that the Skokie River Lagoon, this whole area is part of that strategy, and this was done purposely so that when these types of things happen, they'll be able to soak up all of that water so that it doesn't affect these surrounding communities as much. But to your point, this is record flooding that happened in the area. This place hasn't had to close over the past 45 years. They've only closed three times.
Wow. That says a lot.
And we saw, as I mentioned, you know, all the footage of everything flooded, but it's not like cleanup can begin right away. You have to wait till the waters recede, and then I can't even imagine going in there, figuring out in people's homes what to save, how you salvage things. You've been out on these various locations. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it all would have been for naught if had it rained one more time. Visitors and neighbors and those folks who were able to take those sandbags and place those across those areas that were really bringing in the floodwaters, that really kept a lot of it at bay for people's homes who were flooded out. I mean, you know, basements received almost up to 15 feet of water. Jeez. In some areas, so that folks can't even get down into their basements. Over the next few days, I'm going to talk to folks actually at their homes to talk about, you know, what it is they're experiencing. And you know, as you all know, the Lake Forest Hospital had to evacuate 93 patients when this all happened. Luckily, they've now recovered and business is back as usual. I'll be speaking to the hospital president tomorrow. It was supposed to be today, but we had to reschedule. But I'll be speaking to the president tomorrow to see how they've been able to work through this whole thing. But thankfully, a lot of these area businesses have been able to recover, but the same can't be said for people's homes who lost some things that you can't even replace.
Tony, what do you know about this? The night that this was all taking place, they were talking about the sewer system, and these are sewer systems that were built 40 or 50 or even 60 years ago, and they said the capacity just wasn't there, that they just weren't built to accommodate as many homes in the surrounding areas that had flooded. Is that the case in a lot of these areas?
Well, I haven't had a chance to speak with emergency management officials. So that's something I plan to dig into over the next few days. Really, I was focused on this piece where when the sewer system isn't able to support that,
yeah.
How can we use some of these natural resources as kind of a contingency plan when those things happen? Because to your point, Bill, if those areas weren't, the sewer system wasn't able to support that, imagine if we didn't have places like the Chicago Botanic Garden, which can soak up those gallons of water and pump it out in ways that, you know, emergency systems can more adequately kind of support these communities. But that is something we've got to dig into sure. over the next few days.
Domiti Pongo on the line with us. You are absolutely blowing my mind with this information about the Chicago Botanic Gardens, because we've all been there, and if you haven't, you should get there. It's amazing to walk around and view all the beauty, but to think that it really can help the surrounding communities blows my mind.
Yeah, me too.
And you know, they've got,
I didn't even know this was possible.
I know.
They've got a pizza garden, too. So you can go there and yeah, smell around there, Domiti, and tell me what it smells like.
There's Ryan Burrow.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. There is. There's a pizza garden. It's all of the elements that you find in pizza.
F-L-O-U-R, though, not F-L-O-W-E-R. It's the different spelling on flour.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. They've got a
pizza. Well, can you eat pizza?
No, yeah. it's all the little, it's the
toppings
and
stuff
you'd find in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even have pepperoni plants. No, I'm just kidding.
Ryan is right. They've even got right now, they've got a garden chef series and they're focusing on Brazilian food right now. So in addition to that pizza, if you want some Italian, you can do that, but you can also get some Brazilian food. I said, you guys have really bounced back, right? They said, yeah, well, they have an exhibit all the way through October 15th where they're focusing on, exotic plants, from South America. They were actually grown in Florida, shipped here to Illinois. And they focus on an architect from Brazil. They've got music here. They've got Brazilian food that
nice.
You can eat. So, you know, I'm living it up. So while Ryan is being Judy, I get to be Ryan.
and I've got to go water Judy's plant, so go figure.
Isn't the stinky plant there, too? The stinky plant that was supposed to bloom, was that
that was at Navy Pier, wasn't it? I think that one.
I don't know.
I thought that one was at AP.
I'm staying away from all sticky plants.
All right.
Good policy.
That is my goal.
Very good policy.
Well, thank you so much for being our eyes and ears, because we can't obviously be anywhere or be everywhere at once. So thank you for keeping us abreast of the situation. Domiti Pongo, live at Chicago Botanic Gardens, and enjoy your Brazilian lunch, will you?
I will. I'll try to.
Thanks, Domiti. Have a great day.
Oops. I did not know that at all. It's like a big sponge soaking up the water, but imagine how bad that would have been had that not helped.
Oh, way, 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 way worse.
So don't all neighborhoods need something like this to help sop up the extra, the rain? And why is it...
I live in a Nerf house, Wendy. Did you know that? You laughed at me when I bought it, but as it turned out, it's good for the community.
You really got squeezed out of that one. Yeah.
But, I mean, we've had rainstorms before. This wasn't this epic rainstorm.
Right.
You know, how did it...
For us, it wasn't, but there were some areas where it just came down like crazy, so fast and so hard. I remember watching on the news and seeing how bad it was, and I would look outside, and it was drizzling a little bit.
That Wednesday morning, they got like 8 inches. And I have to tell you, my wife and I went to a restaurant we'd been dying to try. It's called El Puerto. It's in Fox Lake. And the water was up so high. Usually people can pull their boats. It's on the chain of lakes. They can pull their boats in, but the docks were all underwater.
Oh,
and
no.
And they shut everything down, and it may still be closed right now, the chain of lakes, which is just killing the economy there because everyone is boating up there.
Weather's been so perfect for it.
We were fine. We were sitting on the patio, but the water came up just to the tip of the dock, and we were basically protected by one thin piece of plastic
and
sand, and that was essentially keeping everyone's feet dry.
Wow.
Yeah. Parking lot was flooded.
Oh, no.
Wonderful restaurant, though. Yeah. So you should try it out.
Despite that.
And, you know, like our basement used to flood because the antiquated sewer systems couldn't keep up when it was raining really hard. We got our basement permasealed because I couldn't stand it anymore. But since we knew we had flooding issues, anything of great value was up higher in the crawl space or up on pallets. But it's like, how many things do you have in your basement right now that if all of a sudden you got flooded, you'd be screwed?
And water's the worst. It just is, right? I mean, there's nothing. You can't protect it. Once it starts getting in, it's not like you can fight it. You can try as best you can. But, I mean, it's going to seek the lowest point. I mean, some of these schools in Lake County, they lost their entire band room. They lost their entire theater area. They lost all the lockers, and they've got to go through and pull out all that drywall. And now, you know, you talk to some of these principals and superintendents. They said, you know, it's nice that it happened during the summer, but we wish it would have happened earlier because now we're coming up to the beginning of school and we got to replace everything
or else the black mold sets in. Yeah.
Yeah. Electrical. I mean, they've got to do it all.
Yeah. Terrible. Awful.
Count your blessings every day. That's all I'm telling you, people.
Six.
Your wife, your two daughters, and your rabbit.
The Bartman ring.
That's four.
Right.
Now five, Bartman ring.
Yeah.
And you then got one more.
Yeah.
Me.
You. That's
all right,
a given.
That's number six.
And I also have a panini maker that I'm very fond of. So you do. You have to count your blessings. There's no doubt about that. I want to give both you and me credit for something. In the past, not just you and I have noticed this, but listeners have noticed this as well. We have a penchant for mentioning the name of a celebrity who isn't overly famous sometimes, who's kind of on the back burner, and then he or she dies.
Don't pull me into this.
A lot of times it's me.
I'm guilt by association.
There have been some. I know you've initiated at least one or maybe two. And then the other 30 or 40 are me.
All right.
So I want to give us credit because you and I had conversations where we could have included this celebrity's name twice in the last 2 weeks, and we avoided it, but then she died anyway.
But we talked about the show she was on.
Yeah, she was on two shows. Now, the actress I'm talking about is Patty Deutsch. And I know it's an obscure name, and I know a lot of people just went, well, who? I don't know who Patty Deutsch is. Except that you do, because if you watch TV in the 70s, she was on it all the time.
Red hair.
Red hair.
Bangs.
Very, very nasally voice.
Droopy eyelids. Yes. Kind of looked like a little basset hound.
Yeah.
She did kind
Perfect.
Of.
Perfect. Yeah.
And she talked like this kind of.
Yeah.
I totally remembered her.
She had a little girl's voice, even though she was a grown woman. She seemed a little tired and slightly cranky most of the time. And wouldn't you be?
Hey, she's built a career on it. I'm trying to follow in her footsteps.
She was mostly known. Now, this is why I bring this up. You and I had a discussion about who is still with us from Rowan and Martin's Laughing, and I don't remember why this came up.
Well, I do remember that you said it doesn't hold up if you watch it on YouTube, and they do have a lot of full episodes on there.
Yeah.
You said it just doesn't really hold up anymore, which broke my heart, and I think you killed Patty Deutsch because of that.
No, I didn't kill Patty Deutsch. I know I didn't. I would have no reason. I was a fan of Patty Deutsch's and will continue to be. She was, if I was counting my blessings, I would...
one of the six?
She would have been, but now she's no longer with us, so I'm down to six. All right, so she was on Rowan and Martin's Laughing in the very last season.
That's it?
Yeah, she only did one season. By that point, there was a lot of comings and goings. Like in the early days of Laughing, they had like a core group that they kept. But toward the end, like the last season or two, there was a lot of in and out, in and out. So she was in, I'm almost positive, only the last season of Rowan and Martin's Laughing. But then, once Rowan and Martin Laughing left, she started doing game shows, most notably Match Game, and she was on that quite a bit.
All right, but now that's not a really super great career when you think about it.
It doesn't sound like it, except that she showed up on tons of things. She was on a lot of episodic television. She was on Tattletales all the time.
Bert Convy.
With Bert Convy.
The late great.
Yeah.
I loved that show.
You know, I did too, even though it was silly.
It was very...
It was
most
fun
game
to watch,
shows were.
And still are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I will read you her obituary, and then I will read what Steve Bartman had to say. I have no idea. Now that he's talking, he's commenting
he's
on everything.
Talking about everything.
They can't get Steve Bartman to stop commenting on things now, so he has weighed in on the loss of Patty.
That's a good one, Bill. Are you proud of yourself? Because
yeah.
He should be. That was really
that.
Awesome.
That was brilliant.
All right, good job.
All right, Patty Deutsch, a comic who was a regular on the last season of Rowan and Martin's Laughing, appeared often on the 1970s Match Game. So those are two things that in the last 2 weeks... We could have mentioned her, and then you go, oh, look at that. Bill and Wendy killed Patty Deutsch, but we didn't mention that.
Because she wasn't top of mind, I gotta admit.
But in our discussion about Laughing, I think we mentioned about 10 players, 10 of the cast members.
But it's sad that we didn't mention her. Maybe that's why she died.
I swear to you, I thought about her, and then I thought...
No one will know who she is?
Yeah. I thought everyone will know when
she
I say
Alan woman.
Seuss, Judy Carn, Artie Johnson, Joanne Worley, Ruth Buzzy. People will go, oh, yeah, Rowan and Martin themselves, Henry Gibson we mentioned. So I said, oh, people will know those guys. But when I say Patty Deutsch, people are going to go, oh, I don't know who that is. So I didn't.
She died a lonely woman
don't
because
say
you
that.
Didn't mention her.
Don't say
Yet you thought You're, about her and
so
didn't
your
mention
theory
her.
Is my not mentioning her killed her.
Yeah, because she wanted some notoriety.
Oh. She then went on to a very successful voiceover career, and she did. I heard her voice on so many commercials over the years. She was 73.
That's
a shocker.
Not old enough.
No, it's not. It's not old enough, but in my head, like the Patty Deutsch who lives in my head is 36.
How's that like? What's that like in your head? Got nice little parties going on in there?
It's very musty. I need to.
Wasn't Sam Shepard also 73?
Oh, was he?
I think so. That's just too young, and I know they both...
Two more members of the 73 Club. You always hear
too
about
soon.
all these celebrities that died at 73. Do we have two more members of the 73 Club? She was born in Pittsburgh on December 16th, 1943. Deutsch worked alongside Fred Willard in the improv troupe Ace Trucking Company. Did you remember? That was the first time.
I don't remember that.
That was the first time she came in any prominence. I want to say on The Tonight Show, he would have the Ace Trucking Company on every once in a while. It was an improv group.
She wore a hat, didn't she?
Depending on the scene. Not always. You're thinking of me. I always wear a baseball cap.
I know the difference.
All right.
I seem to remember her wearing a white painter's outfit with
sometimes, yeah, sometimes she did. It depended on the circumstance, but yeah.
I don't know why that's my vision of her.
Yeah.
And I love Fred Willard.
Me too.
Love him.
Now, he is on Modern Family now,
mm-hmm.
and he's aged dramatically in the last year or so. Like, he looked the same for a long, 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 long time.
He did.
And now all of a sudden...
He looks old.
He
is.
Looks a lot older. The group, that's the Ace Trucking Company, and boy, were they funny, by the way. The group, which made multiple appearances on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, also featured, now I think this is an error here, Wendy. I may be wrong, but I think they've made a mistake in the story. It said that the group also featured Bill Elsuga, who would later be known as the You Can Call Me Ray Pitchman for Natural Light Beer. Now, I think his name is Bill Saluga, but
they
put
spelled
Elsuga.
It wrong. It's
unless...
Just...
Maybe his birth name was Elsuga, and he changed it to Saluga. But he was the guy who goes, you don't have to call me Ray. You can call me Jay, or you can call me Johnny, or you can call me Eddie, or you can call me Timmy. That was his whole bit.
How was that funny? Because it was at the time.
It was
Come on.
So funny at the time. But I'm not sure why. It was just a guy explaining that he could be referred to by many different names. But I always knew him as Bill Saluga, not Elsuga. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I think whoever wrote this obituary was so upset about Patty Deutsch that they clearly weren't thinking clearly.
What do you think his real name is?
Saluga. Saluga, but they say Elsuga.
It's Bill Saluga.
It is, right?
Mm-hmm. American comedian, founding member of Trucking Company.
Ace Trucking Company.
Yeah, they just transposed three letters.
That's
they got
all right.
The Uga right.
Uga. Ooga chucka. Ooga chucka.
Yeah, they put ALS instead of SAL.
Yeah, that's it.
Write to this.
I'm going to send them a nasty letter. I am going to send them a nasty letter. Deutsch's big break, Patty Deutsch, came in 1972 when she was a regular. Now it says here again, this is a mistake also. She was Case as a regular. I think
cast.
That should be cast. Is Gary Busey writing obituaries at this point? What's going on? On NBC's politically tinged sketch show, Laugh-In.
But wait.
Yes.
You just said she just worked for the last season. This says a regular. I guess that could be the same.
It explains that.
Oh.
The show was past its peak as a big part of the era's cultural zeitgeist, and the 1972-1973 season would be its last.
So she was just for
that. Was there from 72, that 72-73 season, and that was the end of her. Well, the end of the show. Not because of her. America didn't say, well, if they're going to let Patty Deutsch on the show, I'm done with it. That never happened. That's a scene that never took place. As the series wrapped, the nasally voiced comic, an actress, became a semi-regular on Match Game 73, the Gene Rayburn-hosted daytime game show Revival, known for celebrities' racy and ribald answers to the host's questions. Deutsch was a popular draw on the show, which led to her joining the couples game show Tattletales, which we discussed, appearing with her husband, writer Donald Ross. He was a writer on both The Love Boat and Murder, She Wrote.
She's pretty funny.
She was very funny. She was always in almost every commercial I ever saw her in, because she did a lot of voiceover work, but she also did a lot of commercials. She was always the neighbor who was enlightened to the, like she would be visiting somebody's house and they'd go, look, if you use end dust, everything looks better. And she would, but wow, I've got to try end dust or sparkle glass cleaner. She was always the neighbor that came over and then you would use the product and show it to her. And she would go, I've got to get some.
She would be wowed.
Yeah. She would be amazed at what Pine Sol could do. I don't know.
Who isn't?
Well, we all are. You know, but she expressed it through her acting. In 1978, Deutsch was cast as a series regular opposite Jack Albertson and a post-MASH Larry Linville in the television show Grandpa Goes to Washington.
I don't remember that show.
That lasted, honestly, I think 6 weeks, 4 or 6 weeks. That came and went very quickly. The hour-long NBC comedy featured Jack Albertson as a forcibly retired poli-sci professor with no political experience, who gets elected to the U.S. Senate. The series was replaced mid-season.
Sounds like it should have been.
Yeah, that, and I love Jack Albertson.
Who didn't? You know,
that's Willy Wonka and Chico and the Man.
Yeah.
So he didn't play Willy Wonka; he was in it. By the mid-1980s, Deutsch had begun a successful second career as a voiceover actress on shows including The Smurfs. Was she Smurfette?
All I gotta say is, you know, for years I've wanted to do voiceover work, and I can't because I have the same delivery for everything. Bored.
And you don't think people would jump at that?
But now, come on. You think of people like Patty Deutsch, who really had this really kind of annoying, and she was in The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
She did everything.
Yeah.
I mean, God love him. God bless him. Eddie Schwartz had kind of a unique voice.
Very
and for
unique.
Years on the radio, you know, people in his grade school would probably go, you do not have the voice for radio. But he did.
Right.
It's like the more unique voice you have, I guess that makes sense, the more roles you get.
That's why with her, like whenever it was just voiceover work, whether it was a cartoon or a commercial, like you knew right away, oh, that's her. That's her. There's no doubt about it. And I know she's a very obscure actress, and I know a lot of people are listening going, I have no idea who that is.
Look her up,
if
you'll
know. If you saw her or you heard her, you would know her in a second.
The Land Before Time?
Oh, was she in The Land
it
Before
says,
Time?
It says, according to IMDb.
That's with Doug McClure?
This was the 2000 version.
Oh. Oh, no,
I mean,
that wouldn't have been
Doug. She was working
McClure.
Like crazy.
Yeah.
The Jetsons movie.
I got to see if she was Smurfette. Because it says The Smurfs, and I think, to my Smurf knowledge, Wendy...
and it's pretty good.
And I don't want to Smurf this up, but I'm pretty sure there's only one woman in Smurftown. And that's Smurfette.
That lucky girl.
She looks tired.
Smurfette.
Doesn't she?
Smurfette is her name?
Smurfette. See if Patty Deutsch does the voice of Smurfette.
Well, Katy Perry.
Oh, in the last movie it was Katy Perry.
Demi Lovato and Lucille Bliss.
Oh. They have three actresses playing Smurfette?
Maybe this is just all the people in the Smurfs, but I Googled Smurfette.
From the animated, the TV show from the, when would that have been, the 80s? 70s or 80s? I think 80s. I'm pretty sure 80s.
Jonathan Winters voiced Papa Smurf.
I think in a movie. Now, I don't think on the Saturday Morning Kids show. I don't think.
So what year are you looking for? The original Smurfs?
Say, the original Smurfs. So probably the 1980s.
All right. I will look while you're talking.
You know who did the voice of Gargamel, their archenemy?
No.
Ryan Burrow. Isn't that crazy casting? I wouldn't have thought Ryan Burrow could play Gargamel, but he was magnificent.
Yeah, Smurfette was a woman called Lucille Bliss who looks like she could be the same.
So who would Patty Deutsch have been? Because there was only one woman in Smurfville.
Patty Deutsch in The Smurfs, huh?
Yeah.
That's what I love about our radio show.
I'm not saying they're lying. I just don't, if you're not
Smurfette. Well, this article seems to be
right
filled with inaccuracies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patti Deutsch in the Smurfs.
She also did appearances on the live-action TV series She's the Sheriff. Remember that?
No.
Suzanne Summers.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do remember that.
And Moonlighting.
She was on Moonlighting,
just for one episode. She lent her voice to episodes on 90s cartoon series, including Darkwing Duck and The Critters. Those are two separate shows. The latter of which featured, oh, here's some good casting. Listen to the cast of The Critters. Not only do you have Patti Deutsch, but you also have Neil Patrick Harris and Bob Goldthwait. Wow. That's a little bit of everything.
I can't find this information, Bill.
Her what most character? Recent credit, Wendy, was a guesting role in 2013 on the ABC series Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
I don't. That's like you're speaking a foreign language to me.
That was a
I don't
show.
Know.
That was a show for a very, very short time. That they wanted to use the word "don't." B stands for a woman who isn't nice.
Oh.
They want in the original presentation that was going to be the name of the show, and somebody goes, "We can't. It's network TV. We can't call it that."
She also did Life with Louie. Isn't that based on Louie Anderson? As a young cartoon kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right,
it
here's
is.
The Smurfs. Let me see if it... 84 to 86, correct?
Yeah.
The whole cast. You just want to know what... Lucille Bliss was Smurfette.
That's what I thought, because I don't remember Smurfette
June
having...
June Foray was Jokey Smurf.
Oh,
she just passed away.
We just lost her the other day.
Paul Winchell... was Gargamel.
Yeah. And that's the guy who's Tigger. You know that, right?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
And invented the artificial heart.
Excuse me?
I know.
What do you... I mean, how do you...
He did.
How
because
do those
he
paths
was used
cross?
To working... His forte was working with puppets, and he figured out a way to have a cavity in your chest like a puppet would have... that could contain an artificial heart. I know this sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Paul Winchell helped, along with a guy named Dr. Robert Jarvik. They invented...
I remember the Jarvik name.
Yeah, so they're the ones who have... they were the ones who made artificial hearts a reality.
Brenda Vaccaro was Scruple in the Smurfs.
Smokey Smurf.
Jonathan Winters. We got to take a break.
Hello, Smokey. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. Tomorrow's entire show, by the way, will be devoted to Patti Deutsch. A quick break, and then we'll close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, well, we found out Patti Deutsch has passed away. She was on Laugh-In, Match Game regular, and a voice actor. She was 73. She had a long battle with cancer.
Mm.
And I looked up what she played in the Smurfs, and it just says additional voices in three episodes.
All
so
right.
She didn't even get a character. But a lot of people have left us who were in the Smurfs. For instance, Dick Gaudier.
He just died a few, maybe a year ago.
Phil Hartman.
Oh, Phil Hartman. Genius.
Artie Johnson still around?
Yeah, he is still alive.
Oops, sorry for that. Not for much longer.
Wendy.
Well, it just seems Jonathan Winters, Brenda
Edit
Vaccaro.
That part out.
Well,
please edit that part out.
I don't want him to be gone, but I mean,
just
it's...
said not much longer.
Well, because we've mentioned his name.
What if Artie Johnson's listening and enjoying the show?
Then I wish you the best, and I hope our curse does not come true, Mr. Johnson.
Oh.
All right, we're overtime.
What's up, Kevin?
Yeah, no.
Oh, that's...
We're 5 minutes overtime today.
Guess who's getting paid? All right, that's it for today's show. We'll do 5 less minutes tomorrow. You're welcome.
Brent Sopel tomorrow.
Brent Sopel. Former Blackhawk great Brent Sopel. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.